All right, well, we're continuing our series in The Hurt and the Healer. And this week I wanted to share a little bit about the concept of forgiveness. And, you know, we all hurt. All of us have hurts in our lives, but sometimes we're hurt by other people. And we don't know what to do with that hurt. We don't know how to respond to that. Sometimes we think, you know, maybe I shouldn't feel what I feel. It's not very Christian. You know, it's not very Christian to feel what I feel. And what I love about what we've been talking about the last few weeks from the scriptures is the Bible never tells us to not feel something. It never tells us to stop feeling. It never tells us to shove our feelings in the corner. But instead, it just says, don't let your feelings control you. Don't choose based on your feelings alone. But feelings, God made them. He made our emotions. We're created to have these emotions that act as responders to our thoughts. So we all hurt. We get hurt feelings. People, you know, in this room, if we were to survey, and I'm not going to, but man, if we were to survey the hurt, the pain that has been experienced in this room, I think we'd all be overwhelmed. There's physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, all kinds of abuses because we live on planet Earth and people do incredible damage to each other, emotionally, mentally, physically. And of course, there's other things, just relational hurts, the way that we communicate. I mean, you know, you get two people in a marriage and they both seem to be bottomless pits for getting their needs met, and so then they have all these expectations of each other, and then next thing you know, they're falling short of their expectations, and then all of their communication is sort of clouded with this little template of, you're not meeting my needs. And so, well then, you know, you see the hurt, the pain everywhere. We all hurt, and we get hurt by other people. God's Word tells us something pretty specific. It says we'll find healing in the act of forgiving others. So, you know, we might think that forgiving other people, we'll talk more about this later, but we might think, you know, it's about them. Oh, they need me to forgive them. But, you know, what we're going to discover too is that forgiveness is about us. It's about us getting release from the stuff that we've been bottling up inside. So what if forgiveness is not just about them? You know, one of your hesitations might even be, well, I'm not forgiving them. I don't want them to get off scot-free. But see, what if forgiveness is not about them primarily? What if it's about you and your mindsets and what's going on inside of you? So in Ephesians 4:32, we read, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Well, you know, that sounds good. It looks right. It certainly is right. It's from the Bible. But what does that mean? I mean, forgive others as God forgave us. Well, how did God forgive us? What are the characteristics of the ways in which God forgave us? And then how does that translate into me and my relationship with someone? So, you know, as we discuss this, I don't want this to just be sort of a bunch of information about forgiveness. Maybe you might just take 10 seconds in your mind to pray to God and ask Him to show you who it is in your life that you might need to consider forgiving and what that would look like, okay? Colossians 3:13 as well, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So again, the same concept. I want you to, you know, look to the work of Jesus Christ. April 3rd, 33 AD is the day they believe it happened, the crucifixion. Seriously, the latest scientific research now says April 3rd, AD 33, University of Cambridge, Cambridge University professor has targeted that as the day of the crucifixion. A couple of Jewish calendars put together, plus all the four Gospels, plus a NASA-confirmed lunar eclipse on that day, plus earthquake data happening during that same time. It's unbelievable. You should check it out. It's on the Discovery Channel now and various science and news outlets. April 3rd, AD 33, they're dating the crucifixion. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated His love, God demonstrated His forgiveness on that day for us. What are the characteristics? How did God forgive us? Well, number one, you know, He made a choice. He just acted. Before you could ever initiate anything, He chose, He acted first on that day. And so we're going to see today that forgiveness is a choice that we make. Second of all, He forgave us with no strings attached. I mean, just a total unconditional release. You know, the book of Colossians says that He canceled the debt. He released us from anything that we owe Him. So just a blanket release as a choice. So what the Bible seems to be saying is, take all this in. Look to that day. Take it all in. Absorb it. Understand it. And then you'll be able to make a similar choice in the lives of others. So forgive like God forgave. Wow, that sounds pretty incredible. What does God's forgiveness look like? God made a choice to forgive us, and He now relates to us every day, all day long, in light of that choice. And, you know, maybe some of us are stuck right here. We get the first line, God made a choice to forgive us. Oh yeah, that's Bible 101, right? I mean, that's Christianity 101. That's how I got saved. I believed that Jesus died for my sins. He made a choice to forgive me. But where we get stuck is on line one. Because look at the rest of it. And He now relates to us in light of that choice. And see, what we're talking about there is we're talking about the here and the now and the way that the Holy Spirit interacts with me, the way that God the Father relates to me, the way that Jesus thinks of me. In other words, that's where the legalism stuff comes into Christianity, doesn't it? We nod our heads at the cross, but then in terms of how God relates to us daily, it's like we're blinded to the cross and we think He's disappointed, disgusted, angry, whatever. So it's important to see the choice was made, and then there was consistency after that. All the little choices God makes in relating to us all relate to the big choice. Does that make sense? All the little choices He makes relate to the big choice. Now that's going to be a big deal for us when we forgive others, because we make a choice, but then we see them again on Monday, on Wednesday, on Friday. We see them again, and we need to make little choices in light of the big choice. God canceled the debt, releasing us from anything that we owe Him. God was the initiator, not waiting for us to apologize or to confess every sin to Him. We couldn't possibly do that anyway, right? So what do you see then? You see that forgiveness is a choice. Now put that in your mind. You know, you've got your mind, you've got your will, and you've got your emotions. So your mind is your thinker. And your will is your chooser, and that's what we're talking about here. And then your emotions are your feeler. So you've got thinker, chooser, feeler. Now, what we're saying is that this is done with your chooser. Okay? So you can choose to forgive people with your chooser. Now, why is this a big deal? Because the feeler says no. The feeler says, no way, man, I'm not ready. But the Bible is not appealing to the feeler, it's appealing to the chooser, saying that we can choose to forgive just as God forgave us. Well, let's look at some myths about forgiveness. Now, as we touch on these, you might see some of your hesitation to forgive people in your life. You might see some of the justifications that you've had about why not to forgive or not to forgive fully. And so these myths are very common. Number one, I already talked about a little bit, forgiveness is not just for the offender, right? I don't want them to get off scot-free. They can't have a free pass. I'm not giving them a get-out-of-jail-free card. Look, but you don't understand what they did to me. Why would I, you know, that deserves punishment. It's clear that they're guilty. And we're looking at them. We're looking at them. We're pointing out what they did and how wrong it was and what it deserves and what should be the recompense for it. And what they owe us because of what they, and we're looking at the event. And what the Bible is, what God's really wanting to tell us is, yeah, but look at the bitterness, look at the anger, look at the motivators in your life. Look at the stuff that's stuck up in there that you've either been hiding, suppressing, or just acting out on left, right, and center without any real direction. So forgiveness is not just for them. In fact, a lot of people have passed away. They're dead and gone. They're no longer on planet Earth, but they hurt you. So what about them? Well, forgiveness is obviously not for them. Who's it for then? It's for us. It's for our benefit. Number two, myth here is forgiveness is not a feeling. You know, I don't feel very forgiving as a person right now toward them. I certainly don't feel like I'm ready to do this. And so we talk about our feelings and we talk about readiness. But again, we're appealing to that, the feeler part of us, not the chooser, right? So if you wait to feel forgiving, how long do you think that wait will be? Huh? I mean, how long is that wait going to be if we wait until we feel very forgiving about a situation? So forgiveness is not a feeling. Then the next idea is that forgiveness is not progressive. You've heard people say, well, I'm working on it. Right? We say this all the time. Well, I want to forgive them, but I'm working on it. So we're looking at, imagine if God was working on it. Ouch. What would that relationship be like? You know, you look up to the heavens, you're wondering where you stand. Lord, are you okay? Are you okay with me? Well, I'm working on it. Okay? So when the Bible tells us to forgive others as the Lord forgave us, he's talking about the one time. You know, Hebrews says once for all. Once for all. So we take that and we absorb that and we love that message, the once for all forgiveness. But in that message, we also see that forgiveness is not progressive. Forgiveness is a one-time choice for all the offenses. And so then when we see forgive others, what we can do is we can say, okay, I get it now. Forgiveness is not something that I work on. Okay? It's not progressive. Because when we think that it's something that we work on, what are we working on? I'm trying to get my feelings to line up. You see what I'm doing? I'm working on my feelings to get them to line up. And when they finally line up, I can stop working on it. But that is a bottomless pit for emotional adjustment. It's not going to happen. And so what we need to recognize is forgiveness is not progressive. It's a choice. Remember, it's a choice. So forgiving others, number one. We're going to go through three different things today. Some of them might shock you. This one probably won't. Forgiving others. We think of it every day, every week, every month. We think, well, at least I should forgive others. I know this. This is sort of common sense, this concept. But we're also going to look at, forgiving a couple of other persons. So how do we forgive? Consider the event, number one. That's what God did. God looked down the timeline in the helicopter view, you know. Was that a good helicopter? Okay, he's in the helicopter. He's got the helicopter view, and he's looking down the timeline of our sins. He considered the events, all of them, millions, billions of them, trillions. I don't know the next one. Zillions. He looked at them all. He considered them all. He weighed them all. They were sins against him. Okay? And so what God is asking us to do is something similar. Consider the event. It hurt me when. Now, notice that this doesn't mean hide your feelings. And in fact, talk to God all about them. I mean, remember, he's known as the counselor. He's known as the comforter. How could he comfort? How can he counsel if we're not going to be real with him? We're just going to shut down and go into Christian mode. Oh, yes. She shot my dog. Bless the Lord. You know what I'm saying? With the little plastic smile and the, you know, I mean, that's, where's the counsel, where's the comfort in that? Let's be real. Let's be transparent with God. So it hurt me when, and then assess the damage it made me feel. I've talked a little bit about this before, but I mean, how does it make you feel when you're hurt? And be specific. Oh, it made me feel bad. Sorry, not good enough. We're going to push you on this one. Well, it made me feel like I was sinned against. Well, that's not good enough either. We're going to push you farther. Not it made me feel like, not just it made me feel generically bad, but especially for men, this is going to get tough, right? Because we can't communicate in a series of grunts and hisses anymore. We have to actually talk about our feelings. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made me feel rejected. It made me feel damaged. It made me feel abused. It made me feel lonely. It made me feel... And you go through and you try to specify exactly what the damage done was. Okay? So we've got the event and the damage. And then, here, this is sort of like what God did, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of like getting into God's mindset here. Forgive others as the Lord forgave you. So, but I choose as an act of my will, because I'm a forgiving person in Christ, to forgive you and release you from anything that you owe me, even if you do it again. Now, I know that, you know, I think we've spent probably 5 or 10 minutes before looking at something remotely like this, and I guess I want us to slow down and think about what's in here. I choose as an act of my will. Number one, that's the chooser. Because I'm a forgiving person in Christ. Now, there's a little nugget in there that I need to really rest in and understand, and that is, I'm not going to be okay with anything else. This is the only decision that's actually going to fulfill me. There's no other decision I can make about this damage and this hurt and this pain and this event. There's no other response to it that is going to work for me, because I'm a child of God. And I'm made to be a forgiving person. As He is, so also am I in this world. So I'm designed from the ground up to be a forgiver. And so I can let the thoughts and the feelings all be all bottled up for 3 months or 3 years or 30 years in some cases. But all it does is stir against my spirit. It stirs against who I am in Christ. And so this decision is not about, oh, I've got to forgive them. I've absolutely, thou shalt forgive. It's not about that. It's about what fits with the core of our being, who we're made to be now. So this decision that we're talking about is the only decision that will fulfill us at the core. So if you've got major stress in your life from other people as the stressors, and there's pain and hurt there, and you've been wondering how to move forward, this is the only door that works. There's the door of bitterness. There's the door of bottling it up. There's the door of resentment. There's the door of waiting until I feel like it. There's the door, all lots of doors that we could walk through. But this is the only door that really fulfills. Because I'm a forgiving person in Christ. And then you see, forgive you and release you, even if you do it again. Now, believe me, I don't want you to do it again. Please don't do it again. It really hurt the first time. So I'm not inviting you to do it again. I don't want you to do it again. All I'm saying is I give up my right to be treated fairly. This imaginary right that I have that I walk around with, and then when people infringe upon that right, I get a little chip on my shoulder. Not chip, but a chip on my shoulder. It's kind of like the cartoons. You know, you've got Chip Polk here, and then you've got Demon over there, and you're trying to figure out who to... No. But I've got this chip on my shoulder, right? I've got this chip on my shoulder, and it's because I believe I have a right to be treated more fairly. So I release you from that. I give up my right. You don't owe me, even if you do it again. And then, we talked about how you make little choices in light of the big choice. All right, so let's say that you go home today, and you choose to forgive some people in your life that have hurt you, well then, you're going to need reminders of what you chose on that day in July 2012. Because the enemy is going to heap all kinds of things on you, like, well, you didn't really forgive them because look what you're still feeling. You didn't really forgive them because look, you still remember the event. You didn't really forgive them because you didn't do it right. You didn't really forgive them because... And all this stuff sort of comes up. And so then the enemy feeds you thoughts and says, look what you're thinking. You didn't forgive them because look what you're thinking. This thought passed through your mind still. So I couldn't have forgiven them if the thoughts are still passing through my mind. And that's the lie of the enemy. So remembering your choice, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the opportunity to forgive him or her in the moments that I need it the most. I ask you to remind me of this decision I made today. Remind me of this. Call it to mind. Help me remember when I put a stake in the ground and I released them and I forgave them from what they owed me. So you see again what we're doing is we're mirroring the gospel to the people around us. We're soaking in the love and grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, His choice toward us, and then we're turning and we're reflecting that to the people around us, and not just for them, but for us. Forgiving God. Oh my goodness, this doesn't sound right. Should I delete this slide? This doesn't sound right. This can't be right. Forgiving God? Choosing to forgive God does not mean He did anything wrong. He didn't. He's God. But still, you may have been hurt when He fell short of your unrealistic expectations of Him. Imagine you're one of the folks, a family member, a relative, a friend of someone who got hurt or even killed in Colorado a few days ago. Where was God? Why didn't He show up? Why didn't He save those people? Why didn't He fix this situation? We prayed for healing. Why wasn't my dad? Why wasn't my grandfather? Why wasn't my child? You see what I'm talking about? I had an expectation for God to do something, and He fell short of it. Now, God's God, and God has the market cornered on justice and love and truth. God doesn't do anything wrong. He does everything right. But sometimes He falls short of what I expect of Him. And so I get hurt by my own view of God. I get hurt by my current expectations of God. You know, God is not threatened if we talk to Him about our hurt. Have you ever read the Psalms? My goodness. You talk about like a schizophrenic experience. Just go through the Psalms. One minute, Lord, where are You? Why did You do? Why did You allow the enemies to get so close to me, nearly destroy me? Why didn't You save me? Why didn't You? Why didn't You? Praise the Lord. See, I mean, David, he needs to go through a little bit of forgiveness here, right? Of his expectations of God. God fell short of his expectations. So we may have all kinds of unrealistic expectations. We forget about other players in this world, the flesh, the devil. We don't factor those in. We put a God stamp on everything that happens. God, why did You do this? God, why did You let this happen? Well, I let this happen the same way that I let Adam and Eve choose. I let this happen just like I let everybody choose. Look around you. The world is choosing. Some are accepting and some are rejecting. Yeah, but Lord, why did You allow this to happen to me? And so then we got a little forgiving to do. And it's releasing God from anything that He owes us. Because the truth is, He doesn't owe us anything. Everything He gives us is a gift. Now lastly, and I saved this one for last, because this is the hardest, isn't it? It seems like it's the hardest. It's because of our egos. Forgiving ourselves. Well, I want to ask you a few questions as you consider what you might need to forgive yourself for. You know, forgiving yourself, how many of your sins did Jesus die for? Did He make payment in full for them? To what degree have you agreed with God about the sacrifice of His Son? Now then, do you have a higher standard than God? We say, oh, I'm really, you know, I know that God forgives me, but I'm really struggling with forgiving myself. I understand what you're saying. I mean, we all go through this. Do you have a higher standard than God? If God says the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, is sufficient to take away all of our sins, who are we to disagree with Him? So forgiving ourselves is having the same attitude about our sins that God does. No more and no less. Agreeing with God 100%. God, You're right. I'm forgiven. And so I choose to confess, agree with You, homo logos, the same word as God. I confess that I'm a forgiven person and I forgive myself. Now, what do I mean by forgive myself? Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times forgiving ourselves are things like, you know, I embarrassed myself. Have you ever embarrassed yourself? You ever humiliated yourself? Have you ever made yourself look bad? Have you ever ruined your own reputation? Have you ever done harm to yourself by something that you feel, I mean, words come out like this, that was so stupid. I can't believe I did that. That's what I'm talking about when we're talking about forgiving ourselves. So then we get into self-punishment, right? Have you ever caught yourself trying to connect the dots, you know, between your past sins and then your difficult circumstances? Is God punishing you with some sort of Christian karma? You know, and if God's not punishing me, well then, you know, I sort of imagine this and I get engaged in this self-punishment. And you can see that all over the planet. I mean, there's various things, you know, among the kids, a lot of teens, there's cutting. There's some sort of self-inflicted cutting. We get into punishing ourselves with suicidal thoughts. We get into punishing ourselves with, I got to do some sort of self-made penance for my sins before I can, you know, go back to church or feel right with God again or whatever. And so we get into this, if, you know, either God is punishing me, which goes against the cross entirely, or I'm going to punish myself because I just refuse to forgive myself. So the bottom line is, we're back to that choice. Will you make the choice to forgive yourself, release yourself? Forgiveness is not forgetting. Some people think that, because they cannot forget the event, that they did not properly forgive. Well, you know, Bible says he remembers our sins no more. So if I, you know, truly forgive other people or myself or whatever, then I would just forget about the event. So I haven't forgotten, you know, I still get the movie, you know what I'm talking about? The movie playing in your mind of the event. So I must not have forgiven them. Let me encourage you, if you go through this process of choosing to forgive and releasing people, your brain is not going to be checked at the door. You're still going to have your brain, your memory banks, you still will have the movie playing sometimes. Forgiveness is not forgetting. God's not a forgetful old man, like, oh, where did I put my keys? Now, he chose not to hold our sins against us, but he's not a forgetful old man. In the same way, we choose to not hold someone against what they did to us against us, but it's not about forgetting. So the summary, what do we see today? God chose to forgive us. He won't judge us for our sins now or in the future. He won't punish us for our sins now or later. And then we choose to forgive others. We release them from our judgment. I refuse to be judge and jury here. I refuse to be your convictor. We release them from our punishment. What is our punishment? Oh, it could be any number of things. You ever get anybody in here ever get the silent treatment from somebody? Maybe somebody sitting next to you? You know, probably not, but it's just a wild guess. The silent treatment or the cold shoulder and the silent treatment. Double whammy. I hate that. So we go into that for an hour, for a day, sometimes weeks, months, years. And what we're trying to say is, you owe me, but I want you to figure it out. I'm not telling you, but I want you to figure it out, and I'm not releasing the debt until you figure it out and you come over here and you apologize, and then maybe I'll think about it if my feelings line up. Okay? So, again, imagine if God were giving us the cold shoulder and the silent treatment and saying he was thinking about it and working on it until we showed up and remembered and figured out what we did wrong. So we're mirroring this forgiveness we got from God. We choose, we release from any judgment and punishment. Conclusion, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive because you are a forgiver. And forgive in order to be free. Now, I've asked the leadership to come down the aisle and actually give out a piece of paper to each one of you. I'd like to ask them to go ahead and do that now. This paper that I'm passing out to you is kind of a summary of what we talked about today. It's a way that you can go through the process of looking at an event that was done to you and then assessing the damage done to you from that event and then releasing anyone from what they might owe you. And so as you look over this paper, it's really an opportunity for you to take, and maybe one per family or one per individual would be good. We have, I don't know how many we have, but just enough for one per household. And so as you take this home, what this is it's essentially an invitation. It's an invitation to have an appointment with God. And in this invitation, you and God are hanging out, and you might just put somebody in a chair next to you. Now, it doesn't mean that they're really there, but put them in a chair next to you. Could be someone that's even passed away, they're not around anymore. It could be someone that you need to forgive, that's alive, but you're not interested in rehashing everything with them and just breaking open an old wound. The goal of this is forgiveness and release. So you put them in the chair, so to speak. And some of us need to put ourselves in the chair, or God in the chair, as we've already talked about. And you go through the process and just tell them all about it. Your husband, your wife, your children, they've fallen short. You've held something inside. Your parents, they abused you. They treated you unfairly. Whatever it might be, you put them in the chair, you assess the damage, you forgive them and release them, and you ask God to remind you of the choice you made. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have a sit-down session every time you forgive somebody, but what I've found in talking with people is this. We as humans, if we haven't done this sort of transaction in our minds, we've got 15 and 100 and 200 things built up over decades, and it just needs to get out and be released. And we need to choose to forgive for all that stuff. And then when we sort of played catch up in our lives and those things are not beaten down at our door all the time, well then, you know, I mean, you learn to forgive and release in a moment's notice while the event's happening. But have an appointment with God. Consider this, if you'd like to. Of course, you don't have to. But if you feel like this message has meant something to you, that there's people in your lives that you might need to forgive, make an appointment with God. Sit down, make a list of people that come to mind that you might need to forgive. And then go through this process, assess the damage, forgive them, release them, and then ask God to remind you of your choice. Why don't we just pray together to close? Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that somewhere in history, roughly around the year 33, you chose to send your son. You chose for him to die on a cross. You chose as an act of your will to forgive us and release us from our sins, our offenses against you. We have sinned against you, the God of the universe. And yet, you initiated. And we are so grateful and thankful for the choice you made, and that you live in that choice every day. Father, I just pray for each one of us. There may be people here in this room, you know, we're human, we've been hurt, by people, and we don't know what to do with that hurt. I pray, Father, that you might be our counselor and comforter. Show us how to forgive and release. Show us the choice. Even when our feeler screams out, no, show us the choice, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. People just say the wrong thing, don't they? I mean, people say the wrong thing, they do the wrong thing, and it hurts. So there it is, just laying out there. And for some of us, it's just built up over a lifetime. You ever reach in to give somebody a hug, and it's like hugging a board? I mean, they're just stiff. They just can't. Right? So what does forgiveness do for us? It allows us to just release that debt. It allows us to get in touch with what we felt and why we felt it and what caused those thoughts and feelings, but then to choose to release that debt. Say, but I can't, but you don't understand, I can't. What I do know is you've got the healer inside. What I do know is you've got his strength and his counsel and his comfort. He will do it all for you. Just choose to let him walk you through the process of forgiving and releasing. Then we're free. Then we're being who we truly are. Have a great day.